All right, what's up, everyone? It is the MEOB Daily Podcast. It is Monday, April 22nd, 2024. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, joined by my co-host here, Mr. Big Marcel. We're here to preview UFC Vegas 91, Nicolau versus Perez. First UFC event post-UFC 300. Marcel, I do not think this card will live up to UFC 300, but we're hoping that it's a little fun fight night, I guess, right? How you doing?
Yeah, I say, let's go. Yeah, I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
Not too bad, man. Looking forward to talking about this card. I mean, just really looking forward to getting back in the swing of things, right? Because we obviously had the off week. It's nice to have a week off. Like, I didn't mind it, actually. Took my kid down to Niagara Falls this weekend, Marcel. That
nice.
Was fun.
Yeah, I saw the pictures. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it was awesome, man. She's getting so much bigger, too. You know, she's just a little smart kid. So we had a lot of fun. We just went for, you know, a couple days. It wasn't anything special. But, you know, it was nice to get away for a weekend. Can't, you know, don't get too many weekends off, right? So I guess I could take advantage of that. Nice. But looking forward to getting back in the swing of things. Let's get some comments here, guys. No, my computer is slow. I promise. Although I'm sure I'll have to take one as soon as the podcast is over. Glenn, what's up, man? Glad to have you here. Sign Collectibles, what's up, man? Antoine, what's up, brother? Joe, what's up, man? Glenn, carefully say Damien be watching. You know what? We'll talk about that. I'm going to talk about that right off the bat. Let me just get the other comments. We've got Knox. We've got Marcus. Marcus, what's up? We're going to talk about that in a second. Octon Gates, Craig. Glad to have all you guys here, man. Hope you guys had a great off week and looking forward to talking about this card with you. So yeah, let's just get into it, Marcel. We're going to talk about UFC Vegas 91, but since a lot of you guys are asking about this video game I posted, we might as well talk about it. I saw it on the weekend. I was just like, to be honest, I was with my kid, Marcel, and you sent it to me, I think, or someone posted in the chat maybe. And I was just like, okay,
Discord,
make sure that we're not in this video. I don't want a headache. You know what I mean? I don't really think we share on the card too much. And I think that, you know, if you were too critical of that card, it was kind of a mistake because the card was really good on paper and it turned out to be probably even better in real life. I don't have to say about this video. Like, Dana White was not too thrilled with the media. He doesn't like the media. He talks about it all the time, how much we suck. Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's like with this video, he did pick a few like journalists out there. There was like, what's his name? PC Carroll was in it.
Ariel.
Eric Jackman, Ariel Helwani, like those guys from MMA Fighting. And then it was like a lot of YouTube guys. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter like kind of criticize this, saying like, oh, these guys aren't media members, they're YouTubers. I think the line between journalism and YouTubers and media, it's just all like muddled these days, Marcel. You know, like, the fact of the matter is, yeah, these guys might not have gotten a journalism degree. In fact, you don't have one either, Marcel. You know, not everyone does. But a lot of these guys, including yourself, but I wouldn't call you a YouTuber, even though you do.
Dude, you're exposing me here, like, just casually. No, just kidding. People know.
Just saying, like, you have your following, right? People look at your Instagram for the fight announcements, right? But yeah. I'm just saying, you didn't go to journalism school. But I still trust you. I trust you completely. In fact, Marcel, you actually ask both sides before you even post these announcements. Like, not many people do. But getting back to what I was going to say quickly, like, a lot of these, like, YouTube guys, like, Jesse on Fire, who was the other guy? Lucas Tracy, the MMA Experts guy. I like his videos. I watch his previews. He's a cool dude. They got shit on, and people are like, oh, well, they're not media anyways. But the thing is, though, a lot of fans watch these YouTube guys, right, including us right now, quite frankly. And they get their news from there, Marcel. So they are kind of media too, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just glad we weren't in the video. But you know, it's Dana, right? He can really stoop to the bottom level sometimes, and no surprise. Also, Brendan Schaub was in it as well. I forgot about him. There's some few other guys. What do you think? I'll get your thoughts. I've talked about it enough. What do you think?
I really didn't give a shit if I was in it, you know, to be really honest, you know.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I honestly don't, because
it's just a headache, though, man. Honestly,
yeah,
it's a headache.
Yeah, but we didn't say anything bad, you know what I mean?
I know.
And even to be really honest, I think PTC Carroll replied to the Yan Xiaonan Zhang Weili fight. A lot of people did, and that was the first fight being announced for the title fights back then, remember? And to defend that, you know, Dana White went live for me at, like, I think 2 a.m. And he was like, I'm back in half an hour to announce a big title fight, you know. Then he comes back 3 hours later at 5 a.m. here, and he announces Zhang Weili against Yan Xiaonan. Can you imagine that some people are a little bit upset with that being the big announcement for 300? I like the fight, don't get me wrong, you know. And then he says later, guys, we're going to have a main event. It will blow you away. You can't handle it. You know, and then we hear that he has to, he basically did the 300 on one main event. He set it to the 300 because he didn't have anything on it, you know. So the thing is, like, it's kind of thing in the middle, you know. You won't hear me complain too much about cards because I watch fucking everything, so I don't give a shit, you know. But at the same time, you know, I think in the beginning, the commentary or the how do you say that, the little bit of a backlash was, I understand it, you know. I didn't, but I understand that people did, you know. But yeah, there was really like they really did cherry picking with this video, because there were like clips for like 10 seconds. And if you look at the actual clip, the guys actually said, like, yeah, but it's still a good card. But you know what I mean? It's like some things, yeah, but sometimes. And the guy you say, like the MMA experts, he replied to the video as well. I think his reply was pretty good, what he said, you know. I don't know who else replied, probably Lucas Tracy as well. But hey, why do you think MMA Guru wasn't in the video? For the simple reason that Dana knows if he puts him in, MMA Guru would have trashed him completely, you know. True. So that's why he didn't pick him to get in the video. And he knows he's, let's be honest, you can like or dislike Guru, but he has the biggest following pretty much right now in MMA podcasting. So, absolutely. I mean, yeah, so it's pretty, how do you say that? He picks a lot of people, but he didn't put him in. So I was kind of like, yeah, you didn't want to go there. You know what I mean? But I mean, I personally, listen, if they put us in it, they could listen to the podcast and could hear that we didn't say anything bad. You know what I mean? And I think we weren't too hard on 200. We said, like, maybe, if you ask me, the main event, Pereira Hill, was like, yeah, was a good fight, but was it really like that cherry on top of UFC 300? I don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. And I like what, I think Eddie Hickey said it, who was also in the chat sometimes here. He was like, I can't wait for Dana to put out this one for UFC Apex, a video for this. Eddie Hickey on Twitter, I think. Okay. Are you?
Oh, would, yeah,
you do,
yeah.
Would you do this? Would you do the same thing for UFC 297?
No,
you know, you know what I mean. So it's kind of, listen, I don't mind personally, and I wasn't bothered by it.
Definitely.
And then you have like some of these fighters, like, oh, 10-7 Dana, we're not signed with the company. Oh, 10-7 Dana.
Like Joe Giannetti, I saw that,
Yeah, I like Joe, by the way. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, come on. And by the way, Octagon Update said they exposed Big Mac 96. I kind of almost feel like it's a hit at me. You know what I mean? Big Russell 24.
I thought that was you for a second. I was like, is that Marcel's like alter ego or something? Where's the guy who was saying we go to McDonald's all the time? Where's that guy? Maybe he's going to come in the chat today. He's going to say that was us. Maybe that's him, actually. Who knows? Let's get some comments. Petty Dana doing petty things. Hey, Marcus, it was definitely a Teddy Dana. Big Mac 96. Shop Responder said, Flair play. You'll see when it was awesome. Okay. Dana gets a lot of hate from people. Do not keep the same energy. PFL, Bellator, etc. Dude, I mean, I agree with that too, though. Like, why are we so soft on these other promotions? Because they're not the UFC, so they get a pass. Like, PFL gets a pass for their fucking shit, like, matchmaking, where it's so obvious who's going to win the fights. Like, I still watch PFL, but we know who's going to win going in. Like, Marshall, we talk about this every week, like, okay, bro, if there's 11 fights, 10 of them are the fights we think will happen that way.
100%. I talked about it on the Discord. I will say it here to you guys, you know. Dakota Ditchev against Chelsea Hackett. No fucking way that's randomly draw.
No.
That's picked, you know. That's picked.
You got a girl that's going to style on. I mean, a girl that's lost two of her last three fights, who's going to get probably knocked out, you know. If not, she just gets beat up for three rounds. Like, it's pretty obvious who they want to win. And like, even your boy Shane Burgos, like, he admitted it to you. He's like, yeah, like, they gave me like that, what's that Japanese guy?
I
can't remember his name.
I don't know either way, but that he didn't admit it. I told him, like, they're going to give you that guy, you know. What's, and he's like, do you think?
It's terrible.
Yeah. Do you think? And he is like, I don't know.
Yamato Nishikawa.
Nishikawa. But he didn't say he expected it. But I said to him, you're going to get him. And he's like, what do you think? I was like, this is probably your best ticket to get to the semis. You know what I mean? And he's like, do you think? I was like, yeah. And then 2 days later, he's like, yeah, I'm fighting this dude. So I was like, yeah, you mean? So he didn't know he was going to get him, but I pretty much said it to him. But yeah, I mean.
Why is Shane not in the season, by the way? What happened?
He actually told me, but I kind of forgot. Let me think. No, he's not injured. I think next year he will be in it again. All I think he's going to fight on the pay-per-views, those separate pay-per-views. Right.
I mean, he could fight for Bellator too. They just booked Cedric Duombe for a Bellator card. So the fighters are going to go back and forth, right? Also, your boy Castelo Vancinas is getting a number one contender fight. You saw that?
Yeah, you're going to win that fight, dude.
Yeah, so that's what I thought too when I saw the matchup. Let's get some more comments here. Glenn said three fight criticism was justified for 300. It wasn't a special card name quality. Fair enough, because like again, it was lacking that Conor McGregor, that you know, well, like John Jones, Brock Lesnar type. But at the same time, like it was still a great card, guys. I mean, it really was. Antoine, personally, when it comes to the YouTube thing, I think you guys actually break news where some YouTuber talks trash, but likes it, gives opinion rather than breaking news like a journalist. Like Marcel breaks news all the time. I have broken news, but it's been a while. Like it's just not my job anymore. You know, I'd rather leave it to the pros like Marcel that want to, you know, go do that legwork. I'll be honest, Marcel, I'm just a little like at this point, I don't need to do it. Like, or you know, messaging two camps, and it's a lot of work, man. Like, I give you a lot of credit, man. You're always, you know, so you tell me sometimes Marcel will message me, guys. He'll be like, I've heard this fight's happening, but I'm waiting for the other side. Like, he never posts it without getting both. Right, you get both camps before you.
Yeah, man, and sometimes somebody's before me, and I mean, it's, I had one. Yeah, I had before that. I'm actually talking to the fighter, you know, or to the management from the fighter, and they confirm. And then I want to post, and then or Nolan is just before me, or Farah. But you know, I love Farah and Nolan, so that's cool. Mm-hmm. And it's hey, credits if somebody is at it for is quicker, you know, that's always good, you know.
Yep, no, I agree completely. All right, let's get the last couple comments here, and we're going to get into the preview for UFC. Vegas 91, Daniel Edwards, what's up, man? Is this the guy who slapped his wife on camera? Who is Dana White to criticize anyway? Yep. Glenn Ball, what's up, man? Dana White, same guy slapped his wife. What you guys are talking about this guy? Yeah, I saw that video. So that was a while ago, and I don't know, him and his wife, yeah, they got some marital problems, I guess, but, you know. Regardless, Dana, I mean, listen, like, am I surprised by the video? No, because, you know, it was a great event for them, for the UFC. He made so much money. So, of course, he's going to gloat about it. I'm just telling you, Marcel, I'm just glad we weren't in it because, first off, we didn't say anything that bad, but also just because it's a headache, man, to deal with, because you would get so many people messaging you just saying, hey, you're in this video. It just, and you have to, like, kind of reply to it. It's just so annoying.
Bro, the only thing that was really cringy to me was after he posted that video, he went live on his Instagram too. I was like, dude, come on.
Of course he did. He was David, man, trust me, they take their receipts, the UFC. They have their eye on everyone. They have their eye on us. I mean, obviously, they put a course on the events. Of course they're watching when I'm tweeting.
Probably said something that made me pissed off.
Marcel, a few weeks ago, I said, like, I'm like, this fight should not be a main event, and it shouldn't be. Perez versus Nicolau. They're going to clip this after its fucking fight of the year, and they're going to be like, look at Adam Murray's a dumb fucking idiot. Like, they eat McDonald's.
I mean, listen, man. I talk to Perez a lot, you know, but I also think this shouldn't be a main event, you know. I like the matchup, to be honest.
It's a fun fight,
you know?
But it's like a good three-round, like, co-main event at a fight night. You know, even with Kopp, it was a little different because Kopp could get a title shot, but, you know, he missed weight again, or he got injured, I guess, this time. Do you guys think people look for something to be mad about? Or do UFC always have something shady going on? I don't know. Anyways, let's get into
one more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
What really annoys me is that some guys from podcasts or media are like, see, Dana, what they all do. I'm not like this, you know? You should give up. I was like, come on, man, shut up.
That's lame too. I saw that. Like a lot of people, like you said, messaging him saying, give me a chance. I would never say this. Here's a question, really quick one before we get into the preview. You know who Mike Malott's fighting? Is he have a fight?
Yeah, he got something signed, he said, but I have no idea.
You have to talk to Aaron Broadstetter. you probably know because you just spent UFC 300 with him for support. All right, let's get into the card, Marcel. UFC Vegas 91. Just your overall thoughts on this card. I think we got what? 12 fights, 13 fights. Let me count 1, 2, 3.
I haven't counted.
Yeah, 13 because they added that last fight today. It was Chris Padilla and James Yontok. So 13 fights. What's your thoughts on this card, man? We just talked about the main event's really not a 5-round fight, in my opinion, anyways. What do you think?
I mean, there are some fun fights on them, and I'm really looking forward to Lipski against Karine Silva. Sure. I think that's a fun fight.
Main card's good. Like, the main card's pretty good, honestly. But
yeah, and I'm happy they bumped up the Pierce against the Onama fight. Yep. I think that's fun. The Lane Diniz fight, they're probably hoping for a quick knockout, I think. But, overall, it's an okay card, you know. I think the main card is good. I think the prelims are some like really like low level prelims on it. Some, I'd say some, not all, but fuck it, man. We'll watch it. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm completely with you. couple other comments. Give me a chance, Dean. Okay, these are just, you guys talking about that. Gurum, by the way, Gurum, anything with that? Gurum? No. So lots of $1,750 tickets for this card. I mean, I don't hate the card, Glenn. I think it's an okay fight. I'm just missing like a decent main event because to me, you know, two guys coming off a loss probably shouldn't be headlining. That's all. You know, and I think that's fair criticism.
But seriously, who would pay $1,750 for an Apex card? I mean, yeah. Those are ridiculous amount of prices. You're only going to pay that if you're either like have like a financially stable or super stable. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, I always say, and I'm going to I'm kind of long talking here, but I'm going to say it again. Fighting is a poor man's sport, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but there are not rich people who got into fighting. It's mostly people who are the working class, you know, get into fighting, you know, and now you're gonna raise like prices like $750 for tickets because you got a tour of the Apex. Suck my dick. I mean, I don't care about the tour. I want to see the fights, you know, and you should be able to go to the fights for like let's say max $150 in the Apex, in my opinion. You know, it's an Apex card. There is not even like, there's not super hype about these fights. You know what I mean? There should be more audience there. And I'm happy the fighters got four tickets now. So the family members or the girlfriends or the boyfriends can come there, you know?
Yeah, but they swap them out after every fight, you know?
Yeah, I know. Right? So, yeah.
That's so lame. Like, I mean, you can't even watch the whole fight. You just watch your you know, your girlfriend, your boyfriend fight, or whatever it is, but whatever. All right, let's get into the card, guys. I mean, we've been sitting here talking about Dana's video, but let's get into the card. All right, we'll start with the first fight here, Marcel. Lightweight battle between Mahesh Shakhte and Gabriel Benitez. And the odds of this one, Mahesh Shakhte -198, Benitez +164. You can start on this one.
Yeah, so who's the favorite you said again? Sorry,
Mahesh Shakhte.
Mahesh Shakhte is the favorite.
-198. Yeah.
Okay, we're going directly with a dog pick.
Okay, there we go.
So listen, man, Benitez is very inconsistent. You know, got to say that he lost to Miller last time, and he was pretty much laughing when he lost for some real reason. I think he was happy for Miller, but I would be pissed for myself. I mean, Benitez is kind of a hit or miss. I feel like he wins most of the fights I expect him to win, and he loses the fights I expect him to lose, pretty much, you know? If you look at Mahesh Shakhte, I think he started really well. He got a good win over Achilles Estramadura in the Contender Series. Got that knockout win over Steve Garcia. But then, looked rough against Rafa Garcia, and he got finished by Vyacheslav Borisov because, I mean, you know, if you want to win against Borisov, you pretty much have to take him to the ground. You know, that's pretty much how it is, you know. I don't say you will beat him easily, but that's your most normal way to victory against Borisov. My shot to look really bad in that fight. I feel like maybe I give him too, I hyped him up a little bit too much, you know. I think a lot of people did, and me myself as well. Benitez, I don't see like Benitez getting top 15 or whatever, you know, but I still think he's like kind of a mainstay in the UFC, you know, and I think he will tug it out. Probably a decision win for Gabriel Benitez, but I'm far from sure, man. This is a typical fight that can go either way, but at the same time, I'm not really like positive on my shot as of lately.
I mean, they're both pretty inconsistent, I would say, right? Like,
yeah,
I
think true.
I think loser gets cut.
Me too, because it's like the fourth fight of Mahesh Shakhte, and Benitez is probably also going to be cut if he loses again. So, yeah.
And he probably makes decent money, I mean, Benitez, because he's been in the UFC for 10 years. Like, he's probably making, I don't know, I'm not sure, but I mean, not saying he doesn't deserve it, because these guys, like you said, it's a working, he probably does. It probably is something like that. You know, it's working class sport, though, right? So, like, anyways, let's get into the fight. Yeah, I think either guy could win. I mean, I'm not confident in either guy. The thing is, I was liking Mahesh Shakhte when I saw him on Contender, right? He had that upset win over Achilles Estramadura. And then I picked him as a dog against Steve Garcia, and he knocked him out. And I'm like, man, this guy's something, you know, to watch. But he's looked terrible since then. So it's just really hard to know where this guy's at now, because he's looked like shit in his last two fights. You know, he's getting taken down. He's getting brutally knocked out. Like, it's not good. But with Benitez, though, you know, he's getting up there in age. He's 35, same age as me, turning 36 this year. You know, Marcel, it's a young man's sport. Yeah, it's a young man's sport, dude. But, I mean, look at his last bunch of fights. Let's just go through what? Since 2000 and, let's say, since COVID, let's just say that, 2-4, you know, with three finished losses. And the two wins were over Charlie Ontivero, Saito Bob, and Justin James. Like, they're not quality wins. And and he's getting finished his fights. Now, he has been fighting pretty good guys. Now, I'll give him that, because look at who he's lost to. It's like Jim Miller, David Onama, who we'll talk about later, Billy Quarantillo. You know, the Omar Morales one's probably one he'd want back, because that guy's not in the UFC. But, you know, Sadiq Youssef before that. Like, it's not like he's lost to scrubs. This guy's a lot of experience. He's been around for a while. It's just, to me, his durability is a serious concern. I think both guys are. Probably Marcel. I think someone gets finished probably in this fight, personally. I think they got a lot to fight for here. Like you said, loser probably gets cut. So they'll go to war, I think. I think it'll be a fun fight. It's a really good opening fight between two guys who need to win. I'll go with Benitez to like get tired, and then Shante to finish him in the second round. That'll be my pick. Shante second round knockout. That's my pick.
All right.
And here's Glenn. Benitez 50 is show, so he would have got 50. Is that 50-50 then? I think it would be, right?
Yeah, probably.
That makes sense, though, right?
Yeah.
You know, 10 years with a company, you'd hope you'd make that money. All right. John, what's up, man? We'll get into that fight right now. All right. We got Nao Liang taking on Ivana Petrovic. And this is a fight where, I mean, Liang definitely needs to win. I'll say that. You know, Petrovic probably would get another shot. This women's flyweight bout. But you know, Liang, three straight losses by stoppage. She needs to win. She's lucky she'd get another fight, quite frankly. And the odds, Marcel, are crazy. -550, +410. But, I mean, would you bet on Nao Liang? I wouldn't.
No, but I would definitely not put my -550 on Petrovic.
Listen, I think Petrovic honestly smashes her. I think she by TKO. I think she gets her. I think Liang will, like, do okay for, like, the first couple of minutes, then get exhausted again, and then just get grounded, pounded, and stopped. But, like, do I want to lay -550 on this girl? No. I mean, remember when she fought in her debut against Luana Carolina? I liked Carolina as a dog there. And Petrovic didn't look very good. I don't think she looked good at all, personally, Marcel. You know, she looked like someone who's like bottom tier in this division. Still be good enough to beat Liang Na, though. Liang Na just is, you know, she's good for the first like couple minutes. We saw that against Arian Carnalosi. Remember that card, 261? First card back after like COVID. They had that card. Jacksonville opened the card, and it was a crazy fight. But again, she ended up getting finished, getting knocked out her next fight, getting finished her next fight. You can't bet on this girl. The odds are a little too high in the other girl, too, though. There's no value -550 in Petrovic. You know, if you're going to bet on her, I would just take her by knockout because, like, I think she smashes her ground and pound. You'll probably get, like, much better odds. So that's what I pick. I'm assuming you're taking the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm also with Petrovic here. I mean, listen, man, Nao Liang, we saw her fight so many times. And just like, yeah, she gasses out pretty quick, you know. Yep. Yeah, I'm also on Petrovic here. Doesn't have to say anything more, you know. Petrovic's going to win the fight. I also think she stops her probably. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. All right, let's go to the next fight. Again, I think that's the way to attack this fight, guys. Look for a TKO prop or something. And what do you think? First or second round? I should ask you that, too.
I'm going with second round, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that girl can survive for 5 minutes, and then you got even better odds in the second round. But, yeah, pretty confident Petrovic wins. I just wish it was less than -550. All right, let's go to the next fight here. We got the lightweights taking when James Yontop takes out Chris Padilla, who took the fight on short notice, Marcel. That fight was announced today, I believe. Odds for this one. We do have odds. Wait, no, we don't have odds, actually. I don't think we have odds. Let me double check.
By the way, I hate to be a dick, but the pronunciation is James Yontop.
James. I heard it's Yontop, though, right?
Yontop? Yeah, Yontop. James Yontop.
James. My bad, guys. Thank you. I want to get it right. James Yontop. Okay, I don't see the odds for this fight, though, so...
Yeah, it's like a couple hours ago. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming Yontop will be favored because he had a full camp, right? That's the reason. The Padilla guy, it's crazy. He actually it was supposed to be Gabe Green. Padilla fought Gabe Green in Bellator, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, so he's been around for a while, 10-year veteran. He's fought some pretty good guys. His losses are mostly the UFC guys, like Gabe Green, Christian Aguilera, Jason Gonzalez. These guys fought in the UFC. He's coming off three straight wins. He beat Justin James by knockout in his last fight. He was training for a fight against Chris Gonzalez for Uriah Faber's promotion next month. So I don't know if he'd have like a full camp for this, but he was training a little bit. I mean, he's definitely a guy that's, you know, interesting, Marcel, because he's got a lot of finishing ability, right? Against like lower level medium competition kind of, but and a lot of experience. It's just I liked what I saw from Yontop on Contender. And you know, he's pretty young, 24. You know, he's super young. He's still a guy that, you know, it's not like Padilla is old. He's 28. He's not old, but Yontop's really young, and he's a guy that can get better. You know, he's also coming in with a lot of, you know, momentum here. He has, what, like 11 straight wins? I mean, it's a lot, right? 12 straight wins. So it's a lot of wins in a row, man, and it's hard to bet against guys like that. I'm assuming he'll be like a 2-1 favorite. He was like pick him with Gabe Green. I was going to pick him against Gabe Green, by the way. Who were you going to pick in that fight?
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so we both liked him there. I'm assuming you like him here too?
Yeah. I really like what I saw in Contender Series. I think he's a good fighter. He's a Peruvian guy, right? He got that FFC here tattooed on his neck. But yeah, I really like what I saw in Contender Series. And he's also my, how do you say that? My pick of the week on the Dutch podcast with newcomer of the week, pretty much.
Nice.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good fighter. Padilla, our short notice fight. Yeah, like you said, he wasn't training for a fight for Uriah Faber's A1. I think Jan Tat wins the fight. I'm going with a decision, not with a finish, but with a decision.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, looking at this other guy's record, like a lot of his losses lately, especially, have been, you know, going the distance. He's fighting, like, you know, tough. And again, I think this guy could win fights in UFC. I just don't like this matchup for him because, you know, I like Jan Tat. I think he's a really good prospect. So
me too.
Yeah. Again, we don't have the odds. I'm assuming he'll be like 2-1 or something like that. So we'll see what happens. All right, maybe 3-1. I don't know. We'll go to the next fight here. We got Ketlin Souza taking on Marnish Mann. Odds for this one, Ketlin Souza, big favorite here, Marcel. -345, Marnish Mann +275. You know, once again, I think the favorite wins this women's fight, women's strawweight bout here. Yeah, I think Ketlin Souza wins. Like, I don't think she's really UFC caliber. She did not look good at all in her last fight. I mean, obviously she'll get another fight, so not surprised she's getting another one, but like, just didn't look good there. And even on her contender series fight, got brutally knocked out. She won like one fight and then got signed. It just kind of shows you that, you know, to get to the UFC as a women's fighter is a little bit easier, I think, than a man, you know, at this point, Marcel. Because like, I just don't see her being a UFC caliber fighter. Ketlin Souza, you know, not the best look in her debut. But again, you know, Karina Silva was really good. And before that, won 5 straight fights. She was champion in Invicta, you know, a lot of experience, more experience in this fight, fought better competition. You know, not an amazing fighter by any means, like a lot of stoppage losses. Again, I don't love the -345, I'll tell you that, just because she hasn't even won a fight yet at UFC. But like Petrovic, I think they both win. It's just I wish the odds were less. I'll take Souza. I'll take her to win by either decision or maybe by knockout. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think many people are going to pick Marnish Mann in this fight. I think a lot of people are going to pick Ketlin Souza, and I will as well, you know. I think Ketlin Souza, she's pretty decent, you know. She didn't look good against Karina Silva, but, I mean, Karina Silva has finished everybody so far in the UFC in the first round by submission. So, also picking Ketlin Souza. I think she gets the win via TKO ground and pound second round.
There you go. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We have, here you go, Mark. So I'm surprised this isn't on the main card.
Yeah, I wanted to say that. Yeah, me too.
Oh, there you go. Dontale Mays taking on Caio Bigfoot Machado, Canadian-Brazilian fighter here. Odds for this one, Marcel, pretty close, -125. Caio Machado +105, Dontale Mays. Yeah, it's a really low-level heavyweight fight. I was just going to think, like, is the loser getting cut of this one? Probably not, because heavyweight, you know, they're always looking for new heavyweights, so probably not, but these guys are kind of like, you know, they're not ranked. I'll just say that. I think it'll be like a competitive, shitty kickboxing fight, kind of. That's what I think it's going to be like, Marcel. Stays on the feet. Both guys, you know, low volume. Goes over 1.5 rounds. I think that's a really good bet here. I think it goes over 1.5 rounds. And I think Bigfoot ends up winning a decision here. I just think he's probably the cleaner striker here. But Marcel, again, these low-level heavyweights, man, hard to trust these guys. I will go with Caio Machado, though, by decision. What do you think?
I'm going with you. Exactly the same. Next one.
Really? You're not interested at all in that one, huh?
Nah, I mean, I think, listen, Mace really saved his UFC career by knocking out Arlovski pretty much, you know?
Yep.
And then he got lost to Nascimento for the second time. Machado, yep. He had a close fight with Parkin, maybe even should have won that, you know? But still, I mean, wasn't great, and I think he probably picks apart Mace and gets the win by decision. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got Austin Hubbard taking on Michal Figlak, and odds for this one, Figlak's favored, -155, Austin Hubbard, +130. So who do you like here, Figlak to get his first UFC win, or do you like Thud for the upset? What do you think?
We're going with the upset, then. I gotta tell you, to be really honest, I've seen a lot of Fig Lux fights in Cage Warriors, you know. Decent, but not that I was like, wow, you know what I mean? Then he came to UFC, fought Vera Siam, and it was far from wow. Wasn't even really great, you know. If you look at Hubbard, I know it's his second run in the UFC. He lost to Kurt Hollebaugh, a fight I didn't expect him to lose, to be really honest, you know, but he did. Before that, he had some good wins in the UFC against Dakota Bush, against Max Roshkov. We all know what happened in that fight, but yeah. I always felt like that Hubbard is decent, you know, but never really reached the form that we expected to reach, you know what I mean? But I still think he's better than Fig Lux, in my opinion. I'm going with the decision win for Austin Hubbard in this one.
Hit the button for me too, then. I'm with you. I think he should be a slight favorite here.
Yeah, yeah.
Just due to his experience in the UFC. And Fig Lux, you know, I thought he looked pretty good in contender, to be honest with you. And then I was really disappointed by his debut against Ferris. I'm getting taken down, controlled by him. I don't think there's any reason that Austin Hubbard can't really do the same thing, to be honest with you. I know Hubbard's he's not amazing. You know, he's struggled, you know, a little bit in the UFC 3 and 5, right? But, you know, he has that experience and he did fight contender and came back and you know, almost, you know, won that show again. And, you know, it's not easy to leave the UFC and get back. It's not easy anymore. You know, like usually when you get cut now, you don't come back. You know, there's just so many guys out there that it's like you'd have to do something really special. So, like, this guy obviously won a nice little run on the show. And I just think he's, like, you know, again, the more seasoned guy, you know. And I think he can actually grind this guy out, personally, Marcel. I think he can win the decision here. So I don't really understand why he's the underdog here. I think he should be a favorite, like a minus 130 favorite or something to plus 110 on Fig Lux. So I think there's a little value on this guy. You know, I again, it's a low-level fight in the lightweight division. The loser might get cut on this one too, possibly. So, you know, don't put your house mortgage on it by any means, but I think that this guy as a dog is interesting. So I'll take Hubbard by decision as a dog. We have a consensus dog.
Nice.
18 months. I don't know why the layoff. Do you know the layoff?
No idea. No idea at all.
Joe also likes Hubbard. And yeah, John, Padilla's replacing Green. I was just saying they have fought before in Bellator, which is just, I think, a little interesting. You know. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. This is the last prelim, right? We got Hani Yaya taking on Victor Henry. And speaking of big favorites, Victor Henry, second biggest favorite in the card, minus 520, plus 390, Hani Yaya. Obviously, I'm taking Victor Henry. I mean, the guy is a good fighter and, you know, much more well-rounded, way better striking, really good cardio, way better cardio, you know, just a really solid fighter. I mean, he really is. It's just, you know, Yaya, man, that submission game is always dangerous, right? He's just an underrated guy. You know, he said, Marcel, he's been in the UFC for almost 15 years. I mean, he gets no one talks about this guy. He gets no fanfare. I don't think he's ever won a bonus, which I think is kind of interesting. The guy that, let me double check that, but I don't think he ever has. Yeah, he's been in the UFC since 2011, and he's never won a bonus. He did win a bunch of WEC back in the day, but never UFC. And that's despite having a lot of finishes in the UFC by submission, never got a bonus for any of them. So, to me, he's one of these guys, Marcel. He's like the ultimate gatekeeper, Ronnie Yaya, to getting cut from the UFC. If you lose to him, you usually get cut. Because you look at the guys he's lost to, they usually get cut. I just don't want to completely overlook him. I mean, he did beat Conor Kong not too long ago. You know, that's a good win, right? He has, like, some decent wins in his resume over the years. It's just Victor Henry's just so solid everywhere, man. And I'm pretty sure he's going to just keep this fight standing and pick apart Yaya. Probably decision, I'm thinking.
He's also not a hesitant guy, you know what I mean? Victor Henry, he's pretty convincing in what he does. Kind of dusty matchmaker for the UFC, man, because Yaya mostly wins his fights by submission if he wins or decision, but Victor has never been finished by submission. Yeah. So also, I think he never got knocked out. Yeah, what's the way to win for Yaya? Probably decision here, or he has to catch it with a submission, which I don't think is going to happen. Much more faith in Henry catching him with a punch or whatever, you know. Decision win for Victor Henry, but a pretty convincing one, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's the reason he's a big favorite. If you're going to pick Yaya, you might as well take it by sub, I think. But
yeah,
again, like you said, he's never. He's never been subbed. Fight Break, what's up? Or Fight Realm, I should say. He's picking Hubbard as well. Glenbot, 1 of 10 on the last 5 fights, go the distance to the last 5. Which fight? Is he talking about Hubbard or who's he talking
one
about?
10 of his fights. I think okay. it's Fig Lux.
Oh, Fig Lux. Yeah, I know. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We've got the opening main card fight, right?
Yeah. It's Dirty Bird.
Yeah, Tim Means a Euros Medic. Great fight. Love this fight. Man, fun fight in the UFC welterweight division. And the odds for this one, Medic is favored. The Doctor is minus 310. Plus 250, Tim Means. I'll start on this one. Listen, I really like Tim Means. You know, again, these guys have been around for so long. I know, right? Yeah. He's just, he's not going in the Hall of Fame, but he's in my Hall of Fame in my heart. You know what I mean? Just because I love watching him fight, man.
Me too.
He's been around for so long. And he's still winning fights. He's still looking good. The fight with Fiallo, he was an underdog in that one. I remember I picked him. I think you did too. I can't remember. And he beat the shit out of him.
We both did.
Yeah, it was because that's his dog. It was last year. Dude, he looked great. So, I mean, you know, this is a guy that's been around forever. He's fought really good competition. You know, he has suffered, obviously, some losses, but he has some good wins too. Great striker. You know, he's not a slouch on the ground. He can finish on the ground too. He's a really good fighter. But again, he just turned 40, right? So that's the problem here. And then Medic, he's only 30, right? And he's 30. He's turning 31 later this month. He's got a lot of power too, man. You know, 3-2 in the UFC. I mean, listen, he's not a guy without his problems. He's been finished a couple times now. He can be subbed. He can get hurt, punches. But again, so much younger, and he does have really good knockout power, and Means, you know, he's a tough guy, but also Marcel, you know, he is 40 years old. So, you know, at some point the chin will probably go. Listen, I really want to take Means here. I really like the guy. I think he's got a chance. He's got a puncher's chance here for sure, but I got to go with Medic to win by knockout. What are you thinking?
Yeah, you pretty much said what I was thinking. You know, I think I really like Dirty Bird. That means he's a good dude as well, you know, and, but yeah, I feel like, man, Uros is younger. He got the power. And don't forget, man, I mean, he got finished by Earlby last fight, but he was touching him up, you know, at a certain moment that Earlby had to fight to the ground and he dominated him there and finished him there. But on the feet, I mean, he did pretty well, what I remember. So I think this will be a lot on the feet. I also think he puts Means away, man. I hate to say it because I really like the Means, but yeah, I'm with you, man, on this pick. I'm fully with you, actually.
There we go. So we both took Medic by stoppage. No worries, Glenn. No Glenn Bott. I mean, this is the real Glenn. The real Glenn and the fake Glenn. Okay, you're both Glenn in my heart. Managed to open decision. Yeah, I don't think this fight goes a distance. I think so, too. I think he finishes the fight, probably. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got this is one of the best fights in the card, in my opinion.
Yeah.
JSP, Jonathan Pierce against David Onama. This is what I'm saying. I think the main card's really good. Like, this is loaded with fun fights. And this one's definitely one of them. But you know, we got Jonathan Pierce, minus 180, plus 150, and David Onama. I'll let you start on this one. What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, I love the fight, man. I think it's a really fun one at 145. I'm happy they put this one on the main card now. I mean, Jonathan Pierce had a really good streak, man. Five-fight win streak until he fought Brito. And he looked good against Brito, man. I think Brito got out of nowhere pretty much to choke, and he choked him out, you know. I think Pierce was pretty good in that fight until he got choked. Still, that Lozon loss is still bad on his record, I feel like. Nothing against Lozon, but that was so unexpected at that moment, in my opinion. If you look at Onama, I mean, Onama is a fun fighter, but, man, he had a tough outing in his last fight against Gabriel Santos, and out of nowhere got that knockout, remember? Because Santos pretty much the best 0-2 fighter the UFC has right now, you know? And Onama was able to get the knockout in the second round. Before that, had that crazy fight against Nate Landwehr, remember? I think it was a fight of the night. That was one of these fight nights on location. I don't know, at San Diego or San Antonio. I don't know anymore where it was, but it was a really good fight. Yeah, man. And this Armfield fight before that looks also a lot better now, how Armfield has fought as of lately. Yeah. So I still feel like that Pierce has the advantage on the ground, man. And I think Pierce will probably get the fight to the ground and will try to finish there. Does he get a finish? I don't know, man. I'm going with Jonathan Pierce by decision to win this fight.
Fair enough. Okay, hit the button for me then.
Okay.
There we go. I'm going to take a dog here. I'm going to take Onama. I think he can knock Pierce out. I think he can catch him.
Awesome.
Listen, I like Pierce a lot too. He's a really good grappler, but I do question the durability. And Onama is one of these guys that he keeps coming after you, man. He's got a lot of heart in his fights. Like, listen, he destroyed Nate Landwehr, and then just that guy's just so tough. Like, Nate Landwehr's even tougher than him. So I don't really, you know, put a lot in that loss because I think that, you know, it was a pretty damn good fight. And then, you know, that fight with Gabriel Santos, getting out wrestled and then comes back and brutally knocks him out. Like, to me, he's one of these guys that, you know, he's always looking for a way to win. And we saw against Benitez as well, same thing. And then Armfield, like you said, that win looks a lot better now, yeah, as well. Definitely. You know, his takedown defense sucks. I mean, that's the thing, 45%, it's terrible. So that's why he's the underdog here, because he's probably going to get out wrestled. And I think you're right. But for me, it's like, I think he'll lose probably the first round getting out wrestled. But as the fight goes on, I think Onama will catch Pierce and finish him. So I like him as an underdog. You know, I think this fight should be like a pick 'em. So plus 150, I'm definitely taking a shot on David Onama. I'll take him by knockout. So there we go. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got Jonathan Deniz taking on Austin Lane in the heavyweight division. So they had to put one heavyweight in the main card, right, Marshall? Yeah. They had to. I think they chose the right one. Okay, yeah. I'll say that. Because I really like Jonathan Deniz. He's a minus 238 favorite here. Lane's plus 195. I think Deniz knocks him out in the first round. I think he's just a way cleaner striker, way more power. And Austin Lane's a guy with four knockout losses. His chin is very questionable. A guy that's taken a lot of damage from football. I think it's carried over to his MMA career. It's not the first guy that's happened to. So for me, I really like Deniz in this fight. You know, I think he definitely wins, and I think he knocks him out in the first round. So Deniz by knockout. I'm not even going to second guess myself on this one. What do you think?
Yeah, Jonathan actually became pro MMA fighter in 2022. But before that, he had years of experience in kickboxing, right? Mm-hmm. He fought in Glory, actually fought Rico Verhoeven in the beginning of Glory. Yeah, pretty good, clean striker, man. I like him a lot more than Austin Lane, to be honest, man. If this is going to be a stand-up battle, Deniz knocks him out in the first round. I kind of feel the same way. So, yeah, you're not the Deniz for me as well.
Yeah, I like him there a lot, too. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got Karine Silva taking on Arian Lipsky. The odds for this fight were interesting because for a while, Lipsky was favored, and the line's flipped now. Last couple of days, a lot of money's coming on Karine Silva. Now she's a minus 155 favorite. Lipsky plus 130. And I think that movement's right in the money, personally, Marcel, because I like Silva, you know, when I heard the fight got announced. Listen, I like Lipsky. Obviously, she's done well lately. I've been picking her anyways. I think you have in some of these fights too. As the underdog lately, she's done really well and it's been impressive. But to me, like, you know, I still think Karine Silva is the way better grappler. And if the fight goes to the ground, which I think it does, I think she submits Arian Lipsky. I mean, this girl's on a roll, man. She's looked amazing in the UFC. You know, just she's had a long career. She's been around for a while, you know, tons of experience, looked really good. And I think she'll be able to get the fight to the ground, submit Lipsky. So that's my pick here. Silva by submission. If you got her at plus money, like last week or whatever, great bet, I think. What do you think?
It's a difficult one for me, man. I think it's very close, to be really honest. The thing is, like, Arianna Lipsky has looked pretty good as of lately, you know. Before that, she was super inconsistent, man. And I feel like it's so hard to pick her fights, you know, because listen, man, if the sharp Arianna Lipsky shows up, we can have a good fight. But if the old Arianna Lipsky shows up again that we have seen before in the UFC, then Karine will probably have a field day. So yeah, Karine Silva, I like her a lot. She had trouble with that girl in the contender series, that Kui Hian, or the Chinese girl. But after that, three finishes, all three by submission, all three in the first round. Looked good. Got avenged her loss against some Marina Moroz from years ago in the last fight. I have to go with Silva as well, man. You know, I think Silva's on a roll. I think this is probably her hardest fight she got so far in the UFC, to be honest. But if she gets it to the ground, she should be favored there. So Karine Silva, I'm also going with the submission win, to be honest, man.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. All right, let's go to the next fight here. Well, a couple of comments here, by the way. Let me get these. Glenn with Deniz's record. Yeah, it's padded, but Austin Lane, just his chain is bad, man. I'm telling you, he's gonna get finished. Let's keep better crew. She has fought probably better competition. I like Karina plus money. Yeah, you got him.
Nice.
Yeah, Kyle Machado was like plus 110, I think, too. But now he's the favorite. Karina by decision. 50-50 with losses, knockouts. Yeah, but at this fight, I mean, I think it would be a submission, I think. All right. Let's go to the next fight here.
Yeah.
Main event, Bogdan Guskov, Anthony Smith's doppelganger taking on Ryan Spann. Superman. So we got minus 205 on Superman and Anthony Smith Jr. plus 170. What do you think, man?
Yeah, man, Anthony Smishkov. Yeah, I mean, he got in the UFC against Ozdemir. It's the training partner of Walter Walker, right? He's now training at Extreme, I think, before this fight. It was actually funny, man. I think Eric Nixick uploaded a clip on his stories where Bogdan Guskov was powering with Anthony Smith. So that's pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, in the first fight against Volkan Ozdemir, I think he started pretty well, but he got gassed really quick, man. And Volkan finished him after that. Then his fight against Sakpa Uga got the finish. The thing is, like, if Bogdan gets a finish early, he looks good. The longer the fight goes, the more problems he has, you know. Ryan Spann, it's actually crazy. When I think about Ryan Spann, I think pretty much about knockout power, but he has more submissions on his record than he has knockouts, to be honest. The thing with Ryan Spann is, dude, like, I like him a lot, but he's inconsistent. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't know what to expect. You see the Smith fight. He knocks him down in the second round, but he loses the fight by split decision. Could have gone his way, don't get me wrong, but he loses the fight. The thing is, I honestly think that Bogdan Guskov has a good chance in the first 3-4 minutes to get the knockout if he gets it. If he doesn't get the finish, I think Ryan Spann walks away with it. So I'm picking Ryan Spann, and I'm picking him by TKO or knockout in the late first or early second round.
Yeah, Bogdan, you know, showed a lot in the last fight. I think you picked him as a dog, I'm pretty sure, against Zach Pauga.
Yeah.
That was a nice pick, and you know, he knocked him out, and obviously got a lot of power. Got a bonus for that too, but you know, I still think Ryan Spann, you know, he's not super old, he's only a year older than this guy, more experience, you know, fought way better competition. The fight with Smith in the last fight was close, you know, I thought he lost, but it was super close. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he not only can he knock you out, he can submit you, right? So that's what I like about him, is that he has a lot of ways to win. A guy that's flawed though, you know, he's been finished a lot too in his career. Do I love him here? The odds are what, -205? No. I mean, I don't love it, but I think he probably wins because he has more ways to win. So I'll probably stay away from it, man, personally, just because, you know, he does look to be on a little bit of a decline, but I still think he can get this guy out of there. And I'm thinking to win by submission. That'd be the way I go. Maybe you look at that prop, stand by sub. Maybe that would be the way to go. All right, we'll go to the main event here. We got Mateus Nicolau taking on Alex Perez, Marcel's boy. And the odds for this one, Nicolau is favored -185, +154 on Perez. You know, Marcel, I'll let you start just because, you know, you have a good relationship with Perez. I saw you interviewed him. So go ahead, Marcel, I'll let you start this one off.
I interviewed Alex Perez, I think right after UFC 300. I just got it. It's online since today. By the way, also interviews coming this week with Mateus Nicolau and Ariane Lipski. So nice. Look out for them. Yeah. It's a close fight for me, man, to be really honest. If you look at Mateus Nicolau, he was on his way to a title shot, right? Then he lost to Brandon Royval in the first round by knockout. And then he pretty much didn't fight for a year because he was supposed to fight Manuel Kapp in January. Manuel was too heavy. Mateus didn't took the fight. Got rebooked for this for this weekend. And Manuel, I think he got broken ribs. I think he tweeted that. And then now we got Alex Perez. And Alex Perez, they fought for 1.5 years, I think, or for a long time. And then he came back as Mokaev last month, lost a close decision, 29-28. And now he takes a fight on short notice. Yeah, he told me that that he could make weight because he was still in training after the fight one day after. So he was he never stopped training, he said. It's a close fight, I think, man. I feel like Mateus is pretty decent. It's pretty decent stand-up, is pretty good on the ground. And I feel Alex has good wrestling, and he has knockout power. So it can go both ways. I think we'll go to a decision, to be honest. Going with Perez, man. I have to. I mean, I really think he can win this fight, you know, because many people will say, why would you pick somebody who's on a 3-fight losing skid? He lost to Pantoja, he lost to Figueiredo, and he lost to Mokaev. Those are not bad losses, but if he wants still to do, if he wants still something in this division, he should win this fight. So for me, yeah, Alex Perez.
It's 5 rounds, right? This one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it goes 5, man, personally. I think it probably ends inside distance. So I got a different take on this, right? I mean, listen, I think Perez is a pretty good fighter. And, you know, I thought the fight with Mokaev was very close. You know, it was a very competitive fight. Imagine he had won that fight. His stock would have been through the roof, right? Oh, yeah, you had the dog, right, guys? His stock would have been through the roof, though, if he won that fight, right? So, you know, yeah, it's 3 straight losses, but, you know, I'll give him a little bit of a break on that one. And coming in here, jumping back in on short notice to take on Nicolau, I respect that, right? But for me, Nicolau's a guy that I've never, like, loved, but I definitely respect his skills. You know, he's
for sure
a very good striker, very good grappler, too, you know? We're very well-rounded. And, you know, Marcel, truthfully, man, I just feel like my thoughts on this fight are Perez gets submitted. That's kind of what I think happens here. You know, I think that's his weakness. I think it's a submission. Because I think you know, it'll be competitive otherwise. I think it's going to be a pretty competitive fight, but I think eventually he's going to get subbed. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's a fight that won't go five. I think it ends inside distance, and I'm going to go with Nicolau by submission. So that's my pick. We have a different pick on this one, but totally respect the pick, man. I mean, you know, regardless of your relation with the guy, I think he's, you know, a pretty good fighter. So, you know, the fact he had that fight last month, better than him coming off a two-year layoff. If he came off a two-year layoff, I'm assuming you wouldn't have taken him at all, right? Because it would have been hard to. But he looked good against Makayev. I'm going to give him credit for that fight. It was a very close fight. All right. Yeah, a lot of cancellations. Hopefully this fight happens. You know, that's all I'm going to say. Hopefully he makes weight because it is short notice. So he told you he would, so we'll see. Yeah, exactly. That's what I think happens to Matthias by sub. Prez has got, he's got some power. He's got some leg kicks too, so I think it goes under 5.5 as well. So just going through the card one more time. For underdogs, we had one consensus dog in this card, Marcel. It's Austin Hubbard. So that's our consensus dog of the week. And again, we don't talk about these fights beforehand, so I don't know what Marcel's thinking. For other fights where we like dogs, I took David Onama, and Marcel took Gabriel Benitez and Alex Perez as well. So I think that's all the dogs we took. And there's a few fights that I think go either way for sure, but yeah, I think the card's not bad. I think it's a decent card, just missing a really quality main event, in my opinion. So we'll see what happens. All right. Anything else you want to say from this card?
No, I'm good.
All right, cool. You want to quickly go to PFL? Did you watch it?
Yeah, why not?
Let's quickly recap it. I'll just go through. I'll pull it up here, Marcel. One sec. PFL. Da, da, da. I think of the three cards so far, this was the best one, personally. Yeah. There were some good fights. Let's just go through it really quick. I'll tell you the fights because I know you remember them. We'll start from the bottom or the top and work way down. I mean, Magomed Umalatov, you know, won the fight. Clean decision. Yeah. We both picked him, I think.
Yeah.
He was a short favorite here too, like -160. Really liked him here.
Me too.
Let me go through the fights. I'll just let you like go and talk about all of them. How about that? Lofton looked obviously good. Stoppage was a little weird, but he was good.
But that's expected. Yeah.
Yeah. Musayev, amazing performance. We both picked him. He was an underdog in that fight. I think we both picked him. I'm pretty sure we did.
I don't know if I did pick him, to be really honest.
I can't remember either now at this point, but I thought we did. I mean, because I think that the odds weren't out at that point. I can't remember, though. But yeah, listen, that guy looked good, man. He looked really good. Braga looked good, getting the knockout there. Goiti Yamauchi looked pretty good. Kamaka got the upset win. Borch, that fight was amazing. Borch and Brazilla, amazing fight. If you missed that fight, it was an amazing fight. Kizriev looked pretty good. The Raman Zanov guy looked great. Don Madge looked really good. Tyler Diamond looked good. He won an upset. And then Thad John. I'll let you go through the fights. Anything that stood out to you?
Yeah, I liked it. I think Kamaka did really well, you know, against the odds. Tyler Diamond looked good, you know. What else? Yeah, Goiti Yamauchi got the win. I got that one wrong. I picked Gracie to avenge his loss. But yeah, Yamauchi won. Was a fun fight, you know. Was a fun fight card. And I'm happy that they do it on Thursday or on Friday because there's nothing else to watch. You know what I mean? So it's not the crossing with another promotion or whatever I want to watch. Sometimes maybe when there is an LFA or a CFFC, but then I prefer to watch PFL. I like CFFC a lot, by the way. But yeah, fun card, man. Fun card. And I like the PFL cards, although you can pick like from 12 fights, you can pick 11 for sure. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, a lot of these fights I thought were kind of obvious, but the odds, you know, were pretty close on some of them. And then the favorites came out through. And then there was a few dogs that won, like Musayev and Kamaka. I didn't even know he was Ray Cooper's cousin.
Yeah.
That's cool. But yeah, I thought Borich and Barzola, any thoughts on that fight? Because I thought that was one of the best fights of the year, honestly.
Yeah, it was a great fight, man. I think Barzola started really well, right?
Yeah.
Boris did also did came back well. It was a great fight, man. I really liked it. There was was definitely the if there was a fight of the night, it was the fight of the night.
They got to start giving bonuses in PFL. Anyways, I think that's it for this.
By the way, I want to say one more thing. Sure. I was kind of annoyed with Don Davis's tweet when Holm and Kayla Harrison fought. And he tagged Holly Holm in that tweet. It's like, what the hell, dude? You know?
That's kind of weird. Yeah. I don't know about that guy, man. I mean, yeah. All right. Anyways, let's get out of here, Marcel. We're going to do a short podcast, guys, just to do some fight nonsense. So I'll tweet it out. It's completely optional to join, obviously. We'll just go for like 10 minutes. Talking about some of the new fights. Marcel broke a couple of them. So we'll do that. But yeah, UFC Vegas 91, you know, good luck with your picks, guys. And we'll see you guys next week for the recap. And then, Marcel, it's crazy, but we're coming up to UFC 301 next weekend. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty quick.
Man, it's nuts. It's really nuts to me. But yeah, so we'll talk about that. Anyways, guys, I'll tweet out the new one. We'll do some financials, and that'll be it for this week. So stay tuned and wait a second. I'll tweet it out. Thanks.